like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Okay, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush, the latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
6 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, and, you know, sometimes these topical discussions can be the controversial ones. Well, here we go. Transgender athletes whose biological sex assigned at birth was male would be barred from competing on girls or women's sports teams at federally supported schools and colleges under legislation pushed through Thursday by House Republicans. Angel, we don't get too deep into the weeds on political conversations and conversations like this, but when it bleeds into the sports world, we have to talk about it. I'm sorry, I'm just going to say logically, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense for a dude to play a sport where women are playing and then dominate that sport. I don't get it. How is that? I don't understand how, like, if you want to do your thing, you be your person, that's great. Everybody's great, happy, do your thing. But when you are a man and you would genetically have different abilities and then you transition to a woman and then are playing in those sports, how does that not seem like an obvious, that doesn't seem fair?
Yeah, I mean, it toes the line of, you know, equality and inclusivity and all that stuff. And, you know, we talk about, you know, equality between men and women, you know, Title IX with all of that stuff.
Sure.
And all the college sports, we talk about giving equal opportunities to men and women as college athletes and in all sports, really. It's a really difficult conversation because
it absolutely
it's something
is.
That,
yeah.
That we're still learning as a society. We're still figuring out how does this work? How does it, when it comes into sports, when it goes into jobs, when it goes into any kind of different avenue, it brings about a difficult conversation. And, you know, women's sports have been existing for a long time now where they have their own records. They have their own, you know, these are the legends of our sports, like the Serena Williams and, you know, the Sue Bird and stuff like that. Those are the big time athletes. And we look up to them because they say, wow, we're not look up to you in a different way because you're a woman. It's you did all of that and you're a woman. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So it's tough when you start to take away those accomplishments that have already been made by women. It's tough.
I don't get it. But the House passes the trans athlete ban bill, not expected to advance. So we'll see how this all works out in the end, but
imagine
it just,
this goes to a individual sport organization decision.
Yep, you're going to be allowed to make that decision without being sued or anything like that. I mean, sports is not a right. You and I don't have a necessarily right to play Division I sports. We have to earn our spot there. For a guy to be obviously good enough to play a Division I women's sport, that doesn't seem like that's fair to me, but boy, that's a tough discussion. Dylan Brooks, dude, he is just getting after it, talking smack up in LeBron's face. You know, it was interesting. The Grizzlies win the game, and then a confrontation's going on between LeBron James and Dylan Brooks. That was in the third quarter. After a timeout with 8 minutes remaining in the third, following two baskets by James to cut the Lakers' deficit to 14 points, Brooks was talking smack. He was up in his face. Said James told him he was dumb for having picked up his fourth foul and barked back at him. Dylan Brooks said, quote, I don't care. He's old. You know what I mean? I was waiting for that. I was expecting him to do that game 4, game 5. He wanted to say something when I got my fourth foul. He should have been saying that earlier on. But I poke bears. I don't respect no one until they come and give me 40. He went on to talk about LeBron. He's like, you finally want to talk, LeBron? Then they got into this conversation back and forth. And then he basically said, you know, LeBron, I was really wanting to go up against the LeBron from like 7 or 8 years ago, not this LeBron. I don't have an issue with it. Makes it more interesting.
True. But do you remember Lance Stephenson?
I do. I do. And he was funny as hell, too.
Where is he
now? Yeah, he's gone. LeBron shut him up.
Okay.
But so now you can root for LeBron to shut him up?
I'm not rooting for it. I'm just, that's going to happen.
Oh, Dylan Brooks isn't like a consistent, long-term stud player that we're going to remember forever. But while it's happening, sure.
Will he be remembered for this, as we remember Lance for blowing in LeBron's ear?
That's about all we remember with Lance, right? Well, I suppose it's going to be up to Dylan Brooks to do something worthy of remembrance. Wait, now,
I get trash talk, but why trash talk a team that you're going into their house to play them next?
Yeah, I know. I don't. I would not upset.
Why would
LeBron
you do
James.
That?
If I'm the rest of Memphis, I'm like, dude, shut up.
Like, I know I didn't like the Draymond stuff, but Draymond's antics actually made sense because you're going home after this.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, as a fan, sure. Trash talk, all that stuff, sports hate, I'm in. I love it all. But if I'm a Grizzly fan, if I'm like a member of the Memphis Grizzlies, no, I'm not loving this. I don't want to upset LeBron James. Dude, that guy still has the ability. If he gets mad, if he gets doubted, he's going to go off. I would expect him to go off in the next game. Whatever that over might look like. Did you hear about Max Scherzer too? This whole thing, man, that was took forever for them to figure out. He was ejected in the fourth inning yesterday in their win against the Los Angeles Dodgers. The umps kept checking his hand and glove for a sticky substance. They said he had, what is it? Is it rosin? Is that what it is?
Rosin. It's like a tree sap. Yep. It's the only approved sticky substance by the MLB.
So that's what Buck Showalter, the Mets manager, said he had. They're going to dig into this, I guess. But Scherzer said that after the second inning, his hand was clumpy from the rosin and sweat, and that he was told by the umpire to wash it off, which he did with alcohol in front of an official. But then he was checked again before the start of the bottom of the third inning. And then the umpire said that his hand appeared clean, but the pocket of his glove was sticky. And he told Scherzer to use a new glove. Scherzer did that, but then he continued to pitch. Then the umpires got together again, checked him again. And then they got after it. There was a battle back and forth. They were yelling, and then he was tossed from the game. Scherzer was yelling back, "It's Rosen," at the umpires. But boy, that's gonna. I mean, where do you go after this? You're gonna have to take the glove and send it to the lab and dissect this. But what a wild story, man! What a wild one. The Bucks found a way to win without Giannis against Miami. How about that? The Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, that's what you expect. We talked about this yesterday with our picks. This is what you expect good teams to do. If you're without your star, can you survive a game or two? And the Bucks did that. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. The tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. Who's the most important member of the Denver Nuggets when it comes to the playoffs? Is it Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, or Michael Porter Jr.? Here's what I love the most about that game, Angel, is the big three that we talked about. This is going to be the Nuggets' big three. They all made their big impacts in the game the way they're supposed to do it. I like it when it goes according to plan like that. Joker's supposed to be the steady Eddie, the calming force. He's going to trip over 20-plus. He's going to trip over 8-plus rebounds and 8-plus assists. He's going to do those things typically every single night. Jamal Murray is supposed to be the guy that shines. Superstar power. All of that. Michael Porter Jr. is supposed to be a lethal scorer that really knocks a team out or puts you back into it. Those three things happened to perfection last night, especially in that fourth period. And that's what you want to see. If you're Calvin Booth, if you're the Nuggets, if you're Michael Malone, you put it all together. That's how you draw it up. That's what the blueprint says about the Denver Nuggets. And it was an exciting night. I was a little worried, though. I mean, did you have some doubt? Did you doubt that they might lose this game when the third period went that way?
I didn't have, like, not so much doubt. It was more of, okay, here we go. Here's the challenge. Here's the pushback. Minnesota, they come back. They've taken the lead. You got a little relaxed in the second quarter, halftime a little bit. All right, here's your challenge. This is the playoffs now. How do you answer back?
Yeah, and that was a big test. That was a big test for the Nuggets.
And I know he didn't do much, but Aaron Gordon, still doing Aaron Gordon things.
Yep.
Still. And he will get overshadowed when the big three are doing their thing. But when Aaron Gordon can come out of nowhere and get a slam dunk after a pick and roll is distracting everybody, that's special.
12 points, 10 rebounds for Gordon. Again, when he decides, I mean, didn't take a three-pointer. Again, I love that. When Gordon just decides, okay, I'm going to play the way I'm supposed to play by design. And again, that was, you talk about MPJ, Jamal, and Joker doing the things that they're supposed to do. That this is another situation where you look at it and say, Gordon did the things he's supposed to do. When you traded for him, this is what you wanted.
And he's locking down Anthony Towns.
Oh my gosh. They are so mad at him in Minnesota. He has been.
I know they're talking on the broadcast like, oh, what's the future for Karl Anthony Towns? Are they going to move on from him? Like, we got a playoff game.
Yeah. He's been so bad, dude. He's been awful.
He was like their franchise guy a couple years ago.
No question about it. He had 10 points last night, but he was 3 of 12. His plus-minus was minus 9. He has been nowhere in these first two games. Anthony Edwards, on the other hand, he went off. 41 for him. I mean, if you weren't nervous watching as a Nuggets fan, it was actually wildly entertaining. Watching Jamal and Edwards go back and forth, back and forth.
You know, it felt like a Murray Mitchell kind of battle.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. I love when we can get into those games. 17 minutes after the hour. Coming up later on in the program, we're going to have Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan give us the rundown on all things Colorado State. We've had a couple of days to let the news of the new pickup for CSU settle in. How important will Joel Scott be to CSU basketball next season? 17 minutes after the hour, it's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Preps Rewind. Saturday mornings at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Man, when I tell you guys that Shields has everything, you got to listen up. They do. You big fisherman, you big golfer, hunter, athlete, even if you're not a high school or college athlete, you just play for the love of the game, you got to go get your stuff there. They have everything. I like to exercise. I like to lift weights and stuff. I have purchased different kind of dumbbells and sets and benches and things like that from Shields over the last couple of years. We absolutely love it. My kid is obsessed with Shields. Loves the escalator, loves looking at the Ferris wheel, not ready to get on the Ferris wheel, but loves looking at it. But he knows, dude, I told you I got lost there, right? I told you that. That's a story. Everybody likes to make fun of me about it. My kid walks in the doors. He doesn't want to get in the basket. He doesn't want to do that. He just wants to walk. We're following him. He's leading the way. Goes upstairs on the escalator, walks around, goes right to the Lego store. He knew exactly where he was going. And just wanted to look at they have so many cool sets there. And then we end up getting some kind of toy. He just likes to look at the Legos, but he knows exactly where he's going. And that's Shields, man. That place has everything. It's a family favorite of ours. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I believe we're going to have a fishing expert on the program next week. So I'm looking forward to that. You're not a big fisherman, huh?
I fish.
Yeah, you do? Like, you actively fish? Like,
No, okay. but my parents got a camper last summer.
Okay.
So whenever I do venture out with them, I have a little $20 Walmart fishing pole. I've caught, like, two fish with it.
Yeah?
So it works.
I don't fish. I like
I don't
the
know anything about
it.
I kind of, no. You know, you bait the hook, you throw it out there a couple times. And
it's relaxing. It's fun to be out there, but I never catch fish. I think I caught one fish my whole life. So maybe we can learn a thing or two from Shields coming up later on next week. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Again, the tight-knit brewing poll question of the day is at thewholeshow.com. Who's the most important Denver Nugget when it comes to the playoffs? Yesterday was rough, dude, for the Rockies. Just absolutely rough. They lost 14-3. Yeah, if that's what you want to call it,
oof,
that was bad, dude. Austin Gomber. Bud Black just left him in there. He just kept going. And it was just out of control. It was like 9-0 after the second inning. I mean, this thing was just terrible. Here's the fans, though. 18,000 people were there. 18,511 people in attendance as the Rockies fell to the Pittsburgh Pirates 14-3. The stands had not been that empty since April 18th, 2013. The crowd was 18,341. That was the last time the attendance was below 19,000. And I think that day was like freezing cold that day. So that was at least the excuse as to why a lot of people didn't go there. Is this, are we finally starting to see the fans get to that point where they've just had enough and they will start speaking with their wallet?
I hope so. I mean, I kind of talked about it yesterday. We'll get a real sense for this after the playoffs. Once the Nuggets and Avs are done and it's just purely baseball, we'll see. Okay, are people still going out for a Friday night in June, you know, just catching a game or just, you know, I know a lot of people just want to go to Coors Field just to, you know, drink or hang out with their friends and, you know, have a hot dog or whatever. You could care less that the game is going on. But there's also a percentage of fans that want to go watch a good Major League Baseball team and they want to watch a competitive baseball game. And, you know, on a Coors Field experience, it's great. It's awesome. I love it. But at some point, you can't justify, you know, for us driving down to Denver, trying to find parking, trying to, you know, spend upwards of $100 just for one afternoon. And it would be nice if the team you were watching was winning a game, but they're down by 9 runs and you just sat down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. It's embarrassing. It's not just losing games. It's not losing 5-3 like they lost.
What are you doing this weekend? I'm going to the Rockies game. Why?
Why? You're going to
get
made,
nothing
you're
else
get
better to do?
Fun of for that now. Worst record in the NL, worst run differential in the NL. Worst starting ERA in the NL. Worst record through 19 games in franchise history. 5-14. Worst record through 19 games in franchise history. And you got an owner, and I know there's a promo that says it, but I can't get away from it. Saying, hey, I don't really like how the Padres do business. This is what you get then. When the mindset of the owner is, I don't think it's necessarily reasonable to think we're going to be in the playoffs 3 out of 5 years. I mean, it's reasonable to say maybe 2 out of 5 years or something like that. And that's probably true. A realistic expectation for a middle-of-the-road team, that would be great if that happened. But, dude, shouldn't the expectation be we want to be a regular playoff team? We want to be a fixture. No matter how realistic that is, do you want, like, if I told you right now, the Walton Penner Group came out and said, we would like to get to the point where we're in the playoffs 2 out of every 5 years. What do you think Broncos country would do with that? Lose their minds. No, they lose their minds, Angel. They would get excited. 2 out of 5 years playoffs? That's not... I mean, that might be a Dolphins expectation.
Well, I was just thinking of it in the sense that, oh, our organization has a plan in place or have a semblance of this is what we're working towards.
No, they want to be in the playoffs every year. That should be the mindset. John Elway said that. When he first was hired, he said, hey, we want to be in the playoffs. We want to be competitive every single year. Is that going to happen? Of course not. But when your owner comes out and says, yeah, I think it's reasonable for us to be in the playoffs 2 out of 5 years. Right now, that would be amazing. I'd take that in a heartbeat. But that he just the things that he has said over the years, you never dealt with this with Pat Bowlen. You never hear the Cronkies say this kind of crap. I mean, do they do everything right? Did Pat Bowlen have mistakes? Sure, there were mistakes. But you never really heard the owner come out and say stuff like, you know, I don't like how the Dolphins are doing business, getting guys like Tyreek Hill and awesome free agents and trading for, you know, top-level cornerbacks. I don't like how they do that. You know, I'm starting to wonder, you fans are kind of mad that we missed the playoffs. I'm starting to wonder if we even need the Nuggets or if Colorado even deserves to have a basketball team. Can you imagine that? But with Dick Monfort and the Rockies, we just kind of take it. We just hear that stuff and we go, That's weird. Whatever. Let's go get a hot dog.
Oh, people keep showing up.
People keep showing up.
They realize they don't have to spend the money. They don't have to invest back into the team.
There's no pressure to do that.
Because people are going to go to the games. You don't have to renovate the seats at Coors Field. They've been there for 20-plus years. No need to change them. They're still coming to games.
Yeah, there's no pressure to change.
And what that leads to, exactly what happened to the Oakland A's. You stop investing into the team and the organization, your stadium falls apart, your fans leave, and you're moving to a new city.
Oh, I don't know about the seats thing, but I know they invest in Coors Field.
That was just an example.
No, I get you. I get where you're going with it. But they do invest in Coors Field. There are a lot of real positives about Dick Monfort. There are. Hell of a businessman. He knows how he put together a facility there, and he keeps adding on to it. There's property surrounding there, too. But as a baseball guy, doesn't get it. He doesn't surround himself with baseball guys. That's always been the thing, is why...
He treats it like a rec league.
Well, they went with an inside hire. We all said, I don't care who it is, but you need a fresh look on this team. I don't care who it is. You can give me a name that I've never really heard. Maybe he's an up-and-coming general manager. I don't know. But give me a fresh look, because what you guys have been doing for the past 20, 30 years, or when did Dick Monfort take over? You know, when was he a part of this? For at least that long, the way you've been doing things hasn't been working. Even when you get good players, something always happens. You know, we like to blame Nolan Arenado, 2003. We like to blame Nolan Arenado. We like to blame Troy Tulowitzki and say, well, he wasn't a good clubhouse guy, and Nolan wanted out as soon as he signed the contract, and you know, DJ LeMahieu was offered the same amount but wanted to go to the Yankees. It's always, for a lot of Rockies apologists, it's always the player's fault. It's all, we don't want him anyway. He's a guy with an attitude. DJ LeMahieu, Adam Ottavino. I mean, just a lot of names that have gone away over the past few years. And you're right, B-Rad texting in with the owner. When the owner comes out and says, we can go 500 this year, no one should have any expectations or need to spend money to support it. Yeah, I almost need the owner. I'm not saying lie, but hey, you know what? I'm not putting a number on it. I don't know what our record's going to be, but our goal is to be competitive and get in the playoffs. That's our goal. That's what we want to do. We're going to do everything possible to get there. Not, you know, I think we'd go 500. You know, going to the playoffs 2 out of 5 years, it's probably good for us. It's not the Dodgers' mindset. And I get it. They got the money. But look at the Rays. Look at the money that they don't, where are they in payroll, Angel? I don't know if you can find that, but I don't think they're in the top. I don't think they're over the Rockies. Maybe they are. Maybe I'm wrong on this, but it's a team that's finding ways to get it done. They started the season out with a bang. What are they, like 16-2 or something like that? They're amazing. But this is what happens. Where are they in payroll?
28th.
They're 28th, and they're 16-3. It is possible. There goes your, well, we don't have money. We can't spend like the Padres. You spend. You signed Chris Bryant. You're 15th in the league. But how are you spending that money? Did Chris Bryant make sense? Not really. It was an exciting name at the time. It's like, oh, it was Chris Bryant. That's not a guy that's going to build around and can, you got to start from the ground up. I said it yesterday. Tear this thing down. Stop signing big-time free agents and wasting money. Dick Texter here from the 719. Dick Monfort got roasted 2 years ago when he thought the Rockies could win 90. I agree he shouldn't set the expectation other than be competitive. Yeah, you don't say the number. If you say our goal is to get into the playoffs, why? That sounds better than we're going to win 90 games. Why? I don't know why. It just sounds better.
Would simplify it. It's okay, playoffs or not.
That's our
500,
goal.
500, it's
oh. Oh.
That's nope. That's as high as we can go.
That's it. And then when you say 90, it sounds, okay, easy there, Dick Monfort, easy. But when you say our goal is to get into the playoffs, that's it. Leave it at that. That's our goal. Well, it should be your goal. Not 2 out of every 5 years. That should not be your goal. And again, I'm not saying that's realistic. Just It's frustrating, man. It's really frustrating. And when you see a performance like yesterday, and you hear Austin Gomber saying, yeah, the pressure of the Nolan Arenado trade is getting to me. There's no pressure on you. He said that.
He's a pitcher, right?
Yeah. He admits
that. I saw that quote, and he was like, you know, I have to fill his shoes or something. No, you don't.
You're a pitcher. Nobody expected. When that trade happened, it was a laughable thing. It was like, oh, who's Austin Gomber? Okay. Nobody expected him to come in and be good. But he said, I'm just trying to be myself, but I feel like I'm having a hard time staying in that lane right now, talking about being the centerpiece in the Nolan Arenado trade weighing on him.
You weren't the centerpiece. The $50 million was the centerpiece.
And this, the story was
you were
Nolan.
The additional thing that came on the side.
Yeah, the story was Nolan. You had to get something. You had to move on. He wanted out. That
and
was
if you're
the
having trouble staying, get out of the lane then. Because the traditional lane of Rockies pitchers is not the correct lane to be in.
You got pitchers that are struggling, and then they come out and say something like this. Ugh. It's a tough spot to be, 12:33 the time. We'll talk more about this a little bit later on, more Nuggets stuff. Avs going at it tonight. Can they even the series? We'll get into that more. But Kevin Lytle is going to join us next from the Fort Collins Coloradoan. Give us some updates on all things Colorado State. But first, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Talking Colorado State Rams football now with our guy Kevin Lytle with the Fort Collins Coloradoan. Kevin, we're getting closer, man. Spring game coming up on Saturday, and then we'll split for a while and see what happens with the Rams. But you noted in your story in the Coloradoan the other day that we might see some new faces still, even though we're almost done with spring football.
Yeah, definitely. The transfer portal is now open, kind of the spring window. And what that means, kind of two ways, both the in and the out. One, obviously, players are entering from around the country. But two, after spring, I would expect CSU will probably have some departures as well. And then there will be some additions coming during the summer, later spring or summer. You don't have to commit or sign at a new school during this transfer window. You just have to enter the portal if you're going to go. But there will definitely be changes before the fall roster is set.
What are some of the targets as far as players that you think that CSU will really be looking for in the transfer portal?
Well, yeah, we know running back is going to be one. They would need a veteran back, especially depending on the Avery Morrow situation. They're probably going to add a veteran receiver as well. It's still kind of funny, it's the air raid, but that room is still a little thin. It's super, super young. Torrey Horton obviously is the veteran guy, but you have a bunch of, incoming freshmen and guys that are freshmen right now or, about to become sophomores. So they'll probably look to add a veteran there. Offensive line probably going to try and add, another depth piece. And then some, secondary, maybe a little more depth there. Linebacker, a little more depth there. So I've basically listed almost every position group, but that's what it is. Kind of plug in some holes. And, rosters now are just a lot more year to year rather than, a 3-4-5 year cycle. You still have that, but, since everyone can transfer, without sitting out, you can kind of just plug in a hole and there are no more limits on how many guys you can sign in 1 year. So, CSU's already signed high 30s, I think it is. They'll probably end up with, 45 or so new players, between last year and next season.
Kevin, I know it's hard to evaluate in spring and everything, as far as, is this team going to be good next year? Can you tell? But what's your overall feeling? I mean, do you think this is going to be a much improved team based on what you're seeing throughout the course of spring? Or do you think it might be more of the same? Where are you sitting right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it improved definitely. It's hard to make the leap for, massive improvement, say CSU competing for a Mountain West title. it's hard to make that leap until you really see the proof, just because of, you know, how the last many years for CSU football have gone. You almost need to see it until you can believe it, or before you can believe it. But I think this team will be improved. I think they should be battling for bowl eligibility in November. I think that's a realistic thing and where this team should be getting to this year.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And this guy's name keeps coming up, Kevin. We had Henry Blackburn on the program earlier in the hour, and I asked him about the offense. And one of the first names that came out was Dallin Holker, this tight end. I mean, you've talked about him. We've talked about him at practice. The players talking about him. This guy seems like he's going to be the real deal.
Yeah, Dallin Holker definitely looks very solid. I'm sure him and Henry have gone head-to-head quite a lot in camp. But, yeah, he just kind of opens up the middle of the field, that intermediate passing game that was sort of missing last year. He just seems clever in finding the right spots, you know, a smooth athlete. So, you know, all signs point to him being a pretty solid player for CSU and an important piece to that offense. Because, again, we know they have, you know, the wideout weapons. Torrey Horton is still Torrey Horton. Justice Ross Simmons is coming along. We know they have some other guys they're excited about. But you need that, you know, intermediate, middle of the field, you know, kind of just get you some dirty yards type of guy. And Holker might be that guy. And, you know, kind of a new weapon offense. It seems like he's going to be a big part.
Kevin, tell us about what the spring game is going to look like. It's the ones versus the world kind of deal. Is that still the same thing what they did last year?
Yeah. I'm a fan of this format. It seems like most of the fans I've talked to are as well. It's just kind of fun. You know, you might as well have some fun with the spring game. I'm glad they make it a real contest. You know, during the Bobo years, it seems like it was never actually even a spring game. It was just kind of a glorified practice. So I'm glad it's a real game. I give something, you know, for fans to you know, get excited about. But yeah, ones versus the world. So one team is basically your starting unit on offense and defense. And then, you know, the world is the backups. And those backups will be given roughly a 21-point lead or something. I'm not sure if they've officially set the line yet. They'll be somewhere in that range, about 21 points. And basically the game is, you know, ones need to come back and win. So it's pretty fun. Like I say, I enjoy it. I think it's entertaining. It, you know, kind of gets the juices going for the players, I think, as well. So I think it's a pretty cool format.
What do you think? Angel was bringing this up to me the other day of, I don't know who it was. Was it the Auburn coach that said, hey, maybe we should make this more of a competitive game where we play against a lesser team or something like that? We make it an actual game. What do you think about that in the spring?
Yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued by it, too. You know, I'm not 100% sure it works everywhere and for everyone, but I think it could be good, especially, you know, as conference realignment happens. You know, more conferences are going to go to like 9-game conference schedules, so you just have fewer non-con opportunities. And then, you know, so some of those, you know, FCS games might get bumped. And then further, why not make, you know, this spring game a little bit more entertaining? You know, I think if you were to have UNC and CSU playing this weekend, I don't know, you'd probably get 20,000 people at Canvas, I feel like, or, you know, at least 15,000, you know, for a unofficial game. I think that'd be fun. You know, I on the surface feel like that would be beneficial to both sides, to, you know, actually get to run your stuff against, you know, a team that doesn't know it and is trying to stop it. I feel like it could be beneficial. I'm sure there are a lot of different hurdles involved to make something like that happen. But I think it would be fun. I think it'd be entertaining. Like I say, if CSU and UNC played, you know, a spring game, that feels like that'd be pretty cool.
I would be all in on that. That would be, because again, the spring game, it's kind of cool seeing them out there, but they're going up against each other. The concern about injuries too. Well, I mean, ideally, even though you're going against each other, you're still, the coaches want these guys to go 100%, right? I mean, obviously not really hitting the quarterback, but other than that, they're tackling, they're hitting, they're going hard.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's, you know, it's a tough sport. Injuries are possible. But yeah, I mean, I think you could also, if you're playing that game, you could build in some stuff. And if you wanted still quarterbacks to be untouchable, you know, even if it's, you know, CSU, UNC, you could still do that. You know, do tag sacks instead of real sacks. You could still do things to protect the players if you wanted to, but make it, you know, yeah, a game against a different team. I, like I say, I, you know, I haven't dug through all the depths of the challenges and possible benefits, but on the surface, it feels like a thing that would be pretty fun to me.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And on the basketball side, we had you on earlier in the week with the big news of Joel Scott transferring or committing to Colorado State, the Division II Player of the Year. After a couple of days, Kevin, how are you feeling? I mean, is this one of those moves where you think, man, that's going to put this team right back on the map?
I think it's a piece of that. You know, if that's the only significant addition, then no, I don't. Just, you know, because you have some other holes. But as a piece of a, you know, kind of a roster refresh, I absolutely think it is. I think he's going to be a good player. Played a ton of games, has a lot of experience. Yeah, you know, is he going to average 23-10 at CSU going up a level? No, but you don't need him to. You know, if he can be at 14-7, that's looking pretty good. So, yeah, I think it's a really important addition. And, you know, if CSU can pair it with, you know, maybe one more key player, a key wing player, and Isaiah Stevens come back, all of a sudden, I think that team could be in business to be pretty solid. And so, time has not dimmed my kind of optimism for that move at all yet. And we'll see what's next. Like I said, I think a wing is the top priority. I'm hearing a few rumblings that something could be cooking, but we'll see what shakes out there. But yeah, I think the early pieces are kind of coming together. Especially if Isaiah comes back.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye out for your Twitter and, of course, all things Coloradoan. And then lastly for you, Kevin, you joined our friends from Ram Nation. You cheated on me when I specifically asked you not to. Those guys are great. I absolutely love them. You guys got a chance to sit down and talk to Joe Parker. Anything of note? I'm not telling you to give it all away because I want people to go listen, but anything that we should be aware of?
Yeah, always good to chat with Joel and Mike Rowe. They do a great job there. And yeah, they had Joe on after me. I just finished listening to that full segment. But yeah, I think some of it is the stuff that fans don't necessarily see but is important for the Athletics. You know, they're still working on locker rooms for some of the women's sports and, you know, refreshing those. I think maybe the biggest thing is the soccer complex. You know, which is to be paired with the softball, is coming along nicely, and sounds like, you know, kind of in June that's going to be pretty much ready to rock, and that's going to be a really nice piece. That soccer program, I keep thinking it should be successful, and, you know, maybe having a more permanent home is going to help with that. The soccer in Colorado, especially women's soccer, is so good that it feels like that program should succeed. So as you guys know, I'm a soccer fan, so I'm always keeping an eye on that. But, yeah, nothing earth-shattering. You know, they didn't announce CSU to the Pac-12 or anything. So I guess that must be coming later.
That's what I was looking for there, Kevin. I was waiting for it. I was hoping that's what would come of it. But, no, I always like that when you guys can sit down with those guys and talk to Joe. I mean, Joe, it does seem like when you sit down with him, he will open up. He will really get out there, and he'll discuss a lot of the inner workings of all things Colorado State and college sports.
Yeah, and like I say, all credit, Joel and Mike do a great job on that podcast. And yeah, they hit a ton of different topics, a lot of different things. So yeah, I think it's cool for fans to be able to get a little bit of that look, you know, from, you know, sort of the fan side that Mike and Joel have, and Joe sharing, you know, insights with them. So yeah, I think it's important. You have to communicate with fans. I think that's very important for, you know, people in those positions to do. And, you know, there are a lot of different avenues to do it. And but I just think it's important to have a line of communication.
Yeah, no question about it. Kevin, my man, appreciate you as always. Like I said, we'll keep an eye out on your Twitter, the Coloradoan, as we're waiting to see new names for football, names for basketball, and just probably pretty much any and everything CSU related.
Yep, absolutely. Spring has definitely turned into transfer and roster change time kind of all over.
Yeah, you got to keep up with all that, man. So good luck, and thank you for doing that. We sure appreciate you, my friend.
You bet. Thanks for having me, Brady.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. Angel, let me ask you a question. A guy that entered a transfer portal, we know he's not coming back, but he's in the transfer portal. Is it weird that UNC wished and created a graphic to wish Dalton Connect happy birthday yesterday?
I saw that, and I don't think it's weird. I mean, We talked with Smiley earlier this week, and he had said, you know, Dalton, you know, he's been at UNC for a while. He transferred here. He finished up his graduate program. You know, he's a Bear. And until he leaves, until he finds a new school, he's a Bear. So, I mean, I don't like to think of it like you go in the transfer portal, it's like a breakup. It's like, I will never talk to you again. I will never like you on Facebook. Yeah. We won't have anything together anymore. We're
done. You
won't
do an Ed McCaffrey, you mean?
Right.
You won't delete? Is it like it never existed?
Right.
Yeah.
Dalton existed at UNC.
Yeah.
He was the leading scorer on the team this year. Should have been Big Sky first team. But, you know, still a Bear.
Would you have done it? Would you have wished him happy birthday like that? Or would you? Because they created a graphic, and so they're working. They were putting work into this. And I know the people over there. They're great people.
Yeah, I mean, they did it for, who was it? Kennedy or Ingram, one of the two guys that transferred
in. Oh, they also entered the portal. Yeah.
In the portal, they gave him birthday shout-out. So.
All right. It just caught me off
guard.
Being
a nice person.
It caught me off guard. I'm like, is Dalton coming back?
Well, do we need the transfer portal to tweet happy birthday, Dalton?
Yes, they should. It's great having you here. Looking forward to see where you finally go. I mean, you've been here a while. 12:51 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Preps Rewind. Saturday mornings at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kristen Mateo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to the whole show 1310 KFKA.
Let me ask you a couple of questions here. Think about it. Is your current internet provider a pain in the asterisk? Yeah. Yeah. You like that, Angel? You like that? Some of the cool stuff I can do. I'm here to help you guys, okay? So for your information, FYI, it is easy to fiber your internet. If you go to allofiber.com/FYI, see for yourself how easy it is to experience the Allo Fiber difference. Again, their website, allofiber.com. You can call them 970-503-5055. Check them out. I know we're getting set to work with Allo Fiber here, so I'm excited about that. 12:56 the time. I don't know, Angel. Sometimes I'm just reminded of little things throughout the day, throughout sports stories that remind me of Ed McCaffrey. It was the Dalton. Listen,
like the Broncos McCaffrey or the Bears one?
Not the new Bears. Yeah, yeah. Well, oh, you're saying there's a great version of Ed McCaffrey, and then there was the version that we got.
Yeah, I feel like Broncos fans, you have you hold Ed McCaffrey as
he's
over there. Like, yeah, he was great, he did this thing that apparently doesn't exist.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what reminded me of it was the fact that UNC wished Dalton Connect a happy birthday. Even though he's not on the team anymore and he's entered the portal, the 100% opposite of that was Ed McCaffrey. He had congratulated players like Dotson and some of these players on their all-conference awards or whatever. He tweeted that out, and then he deleted it. After he was removed or they moved on from him or whatever, he deleted it, man. Like
He deleted everything.
It's as if he never coached here. If you go look at his Twitter, there is no sign that Ed McCaffrey coached for the UNC Bears. Is that not something that you are you not proud of any of it?
It irks me a bit.
It makes you mad, doesn't it?
Like, yeah, it wasn't a great run, but you could still have some pride for it.
You should still acknowledge what you did. I mean, you were still.
If this is a part of your coaching career, it's a stepping stone.
Yeah.
You have to acknowledge it.
Yeah, you have to acknowledge it, man. I mean, Max didn't do this. I mean, it's just weird. It's crazy. All right, 1 o'clock hour. Plenty to go. Cody Tucker's going to join us. How's Wyoming doing? Do they have players now? We'll talk to Cody in the 1 o'clock hour. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.